Well, I'm going to concentrate mainly on Isaiah 58, but I wanted to go over a few words with you. I entitle this message, Religion With and Without Substance, and I subtitled it, When God Says, Hineni, Here I Am. See, usually in Scripture, when God called a person to be a prophet and he was really serious about accepting God's way, he said, Hineni, here I am. See, it's three English words, it's one Hebrew word. Hineni, here I am. It means I'm listening, God. I'm really open. But here's one place in Isaiah 58, when God says, Hineni, here I am. And that's very interesting because it begins, this chapter begins with God sort of reprimanding his people Israel, the house of Jacob. Now, you know, Christians shouldn't say, yeah, that's what the Jews are like. They need reprimanding. You know, I think if we would look at things closely, a lot of people who go to church regularly could fit themselves into this reprimand that God gives to Israel. So it's not just, when God is talking to Israel, he isn't saying, listen, the Jews are like this. He's saying, listen, all of you, the human race is like this. And it's not the fallen Jews. We're fallen as a human race. And we just read about David, who was really used of God in a mighty way, but we read about the worst sin of his life, or sins, adultery and then murder to cover it up. And in Psalm 51, where he repents, he says, he gives you the root of sin. And I said, it's not as many of the rabbis teach today. Some of the rabbis teach, we have Yetzer Hara and Yetzer HaTov. We have the evil inclination and the good inclination. And whichever you feed, that's what you're going to be. Well, Scripture doesn't teach. You know what David said after these horrible sins? Verse 5 of Psalm 51 gives you where we are as a race of people. And he wasn't just talking about himself or about Israel. He was talking about the human race. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin. Now, whether a person accepts that or not, just read the news or listen to the TV news or see the direction that society is going today, and you have to believe this is not righteousness that you see in the news with some people cutting other people's heads off. That's not righteousness. That is S-I-N, sin. And that is what David meant when he said, in sin did my mother conceive me, because here was a man who knew God, who knew what it was to follow God, who wrote some of the most beautiful worship phrases in all of Scripture, and in a moment of lust, he gave in, had relations with another man's wife, and then killed the husband to cover his sin. And that was a righteous man. What are the unrighteous like? And he had to, listen, when the righteous sin like that, they need to throw themselves before God and weep and ask God for mercy, just like those who never knew God. So that includes all of us. So here is what God is saying in Yeshayahu, Isaiah the prophet. He is saying, now it doesn't say this is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, but from the fact that they're fasting and that God is facing them with their sin, you've got to believe this has something to do with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which we're facing. We're now in the 10 awesome days of repentance, the time from the new year, Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur in the Jewish economy, in the Jewish society. Those are the 10 awesome days of repentance. And as I pointed out before, there are two main words in Hebrew for repentance. Shuv means to turn or return. And nacham is taken from the Hebrew nachamu, nachamu, ami, yomar, Elohechem, comfort ye, my people. Nacham, the root is comfort, but it's used for repentance. What does repentance have to do with comfort? I'll tell you. Can you imagine the agony David was in knowing what the Word of God taught? And here he's trying to hide sin in his heart that he had committed two of the worst sins, adultery and murder. And he was trying to cover it up. And I likened it to the cover up when Nixon and his men tried to cover up the Watergate conspiracy. The reason I compared them is, look, cover-up is a condition in the human heart where we don't want people to know how sinful we are. And it happens to saints and it happens to sinners. That we, all we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah wrote. All of us, and he includes himself, he's a prophet. All we like sheep have gone astray. Here's where we are. Each of us has turned to his own way. I often quote Frank Sinatra, I'll do it my way, he said. That's the way the human race is. We've turned to each to his own way, and Adonai laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. It's interesting that among the Orthodox, they don't interpret Isaiah 53 as Messiah, but in their oral law, it does. In Talmud, it does refer to Isaiah 53 as a Messiah. That's interesting, isn't it? So this, I'm reading from the Orthodox and Jewish in translation of Isaiah 53. Cry out vociferously, Isaiah 58. Cry out vociferously. Do not restrain yourself. Raise your voice like, it doesn't say a trumpet, a shofar. You heard, now he's going to run to blow the shofar. Well, I'll tell you why he does that. He thinks you're like me, you're in your 80s and you don't have as good a memory as you had in your 20s. So.
Oh, I got mine
too. Oh. Okay, I think they remember. Well, we were talking about how David wanted to hide his sins. Look what it says here. Raise your voice like a shofar. Proclaim to my people their willful sins. To the house of Jacob, their transgression. And then he's going to say, you know, these are religious people. Watch their actions. They pretend to seek me every day and to desire to know my ways. Like a nation that acts righteously and has not forsaken the justice of its God. They inquire of me about Torah, the laws of justice, as if they desire the nearness of God, asking, why did we fast and you did not see? Why did we afflict our souls? And the rabbis and the Jewish people interpret afflict your souls as fasting. Why did we afflict our souls and you did not know? God, don't you see how religious I am? God, don't you see all these outward forms of holiness? And God is saying, you know, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You can go through all of these forms religiously. And if your heart isn't right, if you aren't righteous, if you aren't doing well for those around you and aren't trying to show love to those around you, you've got it all wrong. That's what God, behold, on your fast days you seek out personal gain and extort all your debts. Now he's saying, here's the way you act to the people around you. You're playing holy and you're doing this to your fellow man. That's why when you ask the rabbi or when you ask Yeshua, what's the first and greatest commandment? Each of them said to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your might. But how do you say that? How do you know that? Well, you can hear people all over saying, I love God, and treating others abusively. That's why it says the second commandment is like it from Vayikra 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. It will show, if you really love God, it will show in the way you treat people around you. When you treat people in an abusive way, and you say you love God, I'm sorry, but according to Scripture, you don't know what love is. Your love for God will show in the way you treat people around you. Behold, on your fast day, you seek out personal gain and you extort all your debts because you fast for grievance and strife, to strike each other with a wicked fist. You do not fast as befits this day to make your voice heard above. That's why fasting is. Why does the scripture say you fast? To make God to hear your voice. That's why you fast. Can such be the fast I choose, God says? A day when man merely afflicts himself? Can it be merely bowing one's head like a bulrush and spreading a mattress of sackcloth and ashes? Do you call this a fast and a day of favor to Hashem? They translate Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh as Hashem instead of Adonai. Hashem means the name. Why do they say Hashem? Because God's name is so holy, at times they just say Hashem, the name. Here, it's all outward appearance. You're putting the mat down, you're using sackcloth and ashes. You're going to all this stuff to say, look how holy I am. And the way you treat those around you is miserable. That hasn't anything to do with God's standard of righteousness. Surely, this is the fast I choose, to break open the shackles of wickedness. When you treat your fellow man like this, it's like you're bound with shackles, with chains of wickedness. And my fast, My godliness, God says, has to do with undoing these shackles, to undo the bonds of injustice, and to let the oppressed go free and annul all perversion. Get this trash out of your life, God is saying. Undo these wicked things. Let it be gone. Surely you should break your bread for the hungry and bring the moaning poor to your home. Talk about helping people. Look around you. You know, there are a lot of people starving. I want to tell you something. I worked for the welfare department at one time. I had to go into homes in the inner city. If you saw the poverty in the inner city right on your doorstep, it would shake you. And it's children suffering too, not just the parents. So God says, surely you should break your bread for the hungry and bring the moaning poor to your home. When you see a naked person, clothe him. Do you know these are the very things Yeshua says when he separates the sheep from the goats? These people who are considered the sheep, this is Matthew 25, they give their bread to feed the hungry. They clothe the naked. They visit those who are in prison. They visit the sick and try to care for them. Everything that Yeshua says about the sheep has nothing to do with miracles. It's amazing. It's what you could do in everyday life to reach out to those around you. It's up to Yeshua to give miracles. We can't give miracles. But each one of us is capable of reaching out to the needy. Each one of us. And do not hide yourself from your kin. Then your light will burst out like the dawn. Talk about radiating for the Lord. When you do these things, it will be more radiating for the Lord than sitting in sackcloth and ashes on a mat and moaning. Then your light will burst out like the dawn and your healing will speedily sprout. Your righteous deed will precede you and the glory of Hashem, of the Lord, will gather you in. Then you will call and Hashem, the Lord, will respond. You will cry out, and you know what he will say? Hineni. Here I am. Maybe we don't see enough of the Lord because we're bound up too much in ourselves. You know? And it's interesting, when Yeshua gave his last instructions, which was the Great Commission, he didn't say, stay to yourself and see how holy you would become. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature, beginning at Jerusalem. He told them that. And then when you do this, when you do these acts of righteousness and reach out to the needy around you, God will say to you when you come to him, Hineni, here I am. And you know, let's face it, when we're going through rough times, we listen for God to say Hineni, because only we're in a situation where only he can help us. If you remove from your midst perversion, finger pointing, you know why I go to church or the synagogue? I like to point out who's messed up. I like to point to the other guy, you know? It's so much fun to see it in others. And the Lord says, look into your own heart. Repentance doesn't have to do with what's wrong with the other guy. Repentance has to do with what's wrong with me. God, how can I turn around? And God says, here's a time. Yes. here we're all thinking about it. What can we put aside and ask God for forgiveness for, and then start doing the kind of life that pleases Him? That's what it's all about. Remove from your midst perversion, finger pointing, and evil speech, and offer your soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then your light will shine in the darkness, and your deepest gloom will be like the noon. Then Hashem, the Lord, will guide you always. Sate your soul in times of drought, and strengthen your bones, and you will be like a well-watered garden and a spring of water whose waters never fail. And Yeshua said, when you will receive His Spirit, His Ruach, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Yeshua went around spreading the news of God and deliverance, and from Him came rivers of living water, and He says, I'm going to give you my Ruach, my Spirit. And if you have my Ruach, from you too will flow rivers of living water to those outside. And you know, people are starving for life spiritually all around us. And if we prepare ourselves, from us, we can become a means for the Spirit of God to go out and flow out to those around us and bring them life. Ancient ruins will be rebuilt through you, and you will restore generational foundations. And they will call you repairer of the breach and restorer of paths for habitation. If you restrain your foot because it is a Sabbath, refrain from accomplishing your own deeds. You know, I want to do stuff that I have planned instead of having a day or days dedicated to the Lord. I want to do my thing. My business is more important than coming together as a body. How much money I can store up is more important than that. It's all about how secure I will be when I retire. Do you read all about retiring in Scripture?
No.
You know, it was interesting. Billy Graham was being interviewed on the Today program. And it was when Katie Couric was still there. And she said, you know, I have to ask you this question. You're not well now. She said, why don't you just retire? You've done your work. He says, you know, that's interesting because I never saw it in Scripture. And it isn't there. If you restrain your foot because it is a Sabbath, refrain from accomplishing your own needs on my holy day. If you proclaim the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of Hashem honored, and you honor it by not engaging in your own affairs, from seeking your own needs or discussing the forbidden, then you will delight in Hashem. It isn't just ritual. It's delighting in the Lord. I think if we were delighting in the Lord, we would have a different set of priorities. Seek ye first, primary, above everything, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And God says, I'll take care of the other things. Amen. All these other things will be given to you. And somebody says, oh no, I don't believe that. God helps those who help themselves. Don't you know where that is in Scripture? No, I don't. I think a lot of times God helps those who can help themselves. And that's what deliverance is all about. And God calls us to love Him first and foremost. And when we love Him first and foremost, and put his kingdom first, everything falls into place. Then you will delight in Hashem, the Lord, and I will mount you astride the heights of the world. I will provide you the heritage of your forefather Jacob, for the mouth of Hashem has spoken. Put me first, God says, and I'll take care of everything else. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Some people let that escape them, what it means. That means primary. When we belong to the body of the Messiah, it's not just so a person can go to a certain meeting and say, what am I going to get out of it? It's not what am I going to get. When I belong to the family of God, what am I going to give? The Lord has a gift for each of us. And it has to do, serving the Lord doesn't have to do with always saying, what am I going to get? Serving the Lord is, what can I give? Here I am, Lord. When we say, Hineni, here I am, Lord, give me the wherewithal to serve. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And that's what he calls us to. Amen. To serve. You know what the word minister means? Really, the word used as minister in Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant, is servant. That's what it means. It isn't the guy with a starch collar in this big pulpit looking down on everybody trying to say how clean and exalted he is. It's a servant. If we're serving God, we're servants. Amen. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Amen. And that's why we're in the 10 awesome days of repentance. Lord, get everything out of my life that's a hindrance and a stumbling block. And let me know what it is to fully serve you. Let's pray. Lord, move on our hearts and draw us close to you and strengthen us and help us to know what it is to really seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and think in terms of what I can do to serve and not what am I going to get out of it. We just give ourselves fully to you. And we ask you that for each life here, you would so lead that when each person stands before Yeshua, the judgment seat of the Messiah, we would hear your well done. We thank you for your goodness. In Yeshua's name. Now,